O God, we call. From deep inside we yearn for you. Shine your light into our wilderness walk and illuminate your presence there with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today is the first Sunday of Lent. And Lent, if you're new to the liturgical tradition, is a 40-day journey, not including Sundays, through some of the tough wilderness of our gospel story. Through Jesus' suffering, death, and into life. In the early Christian community, Lent was observed in a variety of ways. For some, this was the time of preparation for baptism, delving deep into the stories, traditions, and sacraments of the faith. These were usually rooted around the Apostles' Creed, which we'll delve into starting on Tuesday. For others, this was a more personal journey of penitence and discipleship. But whichever way it was marked, Lent was always a time, as Rob pointed out, to slow down, to strip away all of the extras, a time to refocus on what is at the center of our life together, exploring who God is and who we are as followers of the way. It's not surprising, then, that our Lenten readings begin in the desert. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is telling and retelling the story of that freedom from exile, slavery, wandering, and the people's often penchant for relying on themselves instead of God. And so he says in the book of Deuteronomy, "Remember the long way that God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, testing you to know what was in your heart. In the wilderness, your God carried you just as one carries a child. God humbled you, letting you hunger, then fed you with manna, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Through the long years of wandering, uncertainty, and longing for home, God walked with these stubborn people, helping them to shed the final chains of slavery, teaching again and again the character of God and who they might be as God's chosen. In the desert, they are loved, carried and formed, worn smooth like the hot sand under their feet, by the word God gave through Moses. And in our Deuteronomy reading today, they are just about to step across the River Jordan and enter the land they've been promised for so long. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Having been wanderers for 40 years, no fixed address, led through war and famine, fed with hope and with promise. And now they are steps away from entering the land. They are finally home. But home, they may have found, is not just a place. In this wilderness of testing, they have learned to trust in God and to find their identity as God's own. And in that relationship, they have found a home. A home that is rich and fertile. A home sustained by the Spirit. A relationship where the fruits of grace and thanksgiving are not merely for them, but can be offered in hospitality to the stranger. And time goes by. And we humans are pretty good at forgetting the freedom and sustaining relationship God offers us in the midst of trial. And so if we fast forward 1,000 or so years, John is in the River Jordan. And like Moses, John is calling people back, calling them from their stubborn self-reliance back to God, asking them to change their heart. And it is in this context that we pick up the gospel reading. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. The wilderness isn't the first place one might think that someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit might be led. And yet, in the context of Luke's writing, it seems to fit. Jesus has just been baptized, and the Holy Spirit has descended upon him, and a voice has come from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Luke goes on to give the genealogy of Jesus, and there's lots we could go into there, but we won't. Other than the last two words, Son of Adam, Son of God. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, God's beloved. I remember a professor once at VST, the seminary where I was at, telling me that you can never separate the story of Jesus' baptism from the temptation. Because as we are named and claimed as God's own, we are always tempted in one way or another to renounce that relationship. So Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit and encounters the accuser in the desert and is tested. Fresh out of those waters of baptism, perhaps even he wonders if he can bear in this human flesh the name he has been given. Can he redeem for us what we have so often forsaken? Our trust in God. Our reliance in God's bountiful provision. The name we have been given as God's beloved. No, Jesus is not called to give up chocolate or wine or any of those other regular human temptations we encounter every day. Jesus is tempted to give up his identity as Son of God in exchange for those temporary shadows of glory. It is in the wilderness Jesus affirms his trust in God. With each word forced through parched lips, he places himself in the hands of God, the source of all that is, the one in whom he will place even his life. With every temptation, Jesus responds to the devil, "Not this, not this, not this." With each response, he names what does not belong to him. With each answer, he gains clarity about what he needs to empty himself of in order to be who he has been called to be. When he emerges from that wild space, when he has completed this liminal time of fasting and praying and wrestling, Jesus has that clarity that perhaps could not have come any other way. This. There is nothing, no power on earth, no temptation strong enough to sway the love of God planted at the heart of who Jesus is. And it is full of the spirit of this love that Jesus staggers off that mountain and into the valleys, proclaiming a ministry of liberation, healing, and forgiveness. And we too are given this spirit. This is the miracle and wonder of our faith. In baptism, we are given a new identity. In the midst of the pain we are facing, our grief and our sickness, our despair at what we see in our world, we are given the Holy Spirit and assured that in the midst of the desert of suffering, God is present. In our wild times, our wrestling and our waiting, we too can know a love that is planted at the heart of who we are. Last week, Matt shared that beautiful mountaintop experience by the writer Belden C. Lane. In that same book, Belden writes that God's invitation to the spiritual life is a call to the high-risk venture of being loved more fiercely than we might have ever dreamed. Loved more fiercely than we might have ever dreamed. Would that change how you were in the world if you were convinced to the core of you that you were loved so completely, so fiercely? I know I want to believe it, and I want to live it. And I see oftentimes where I'm tempted to think that love, come on, it's not enough. One of my children were hurt this past week by an experience of exclusion. And as they came to me and wept and wept, I wanted to do something. I wanted to fix it immediately. I imagined all sorts of scenarios. I was going to call the child's parents. In fact, I was going to pull that child aside and tell them the ramifications of their actions. And then I was going to try and figure out, was it me or Rob? Or did we say something to alienate those parents? Was it wearing the collar when I picked up Zion at school that day? So the cycle went. What could I do? How could I fix this? And then I realized all I could do was love him. All I could do was hold him. All I could do was say that you are not defined by the actions of others. You are defined by being a beautiful, beloved child of God. And I could live. I could live in a way that proclaimed a welcome and an inclusion and a love of all. Love is enough. It is all there is. Our wilderness times can bring us to our knees, and they can shape us into the people who will, in the midst of it all, still say that we will not live on bread alone, but on the living Word of God, on the love of God, crucified and risen, who is making us whole. It has become my tradition on the first Sunday of Lent to leave you with a blessing. It's from a book called Circles of Grace. And so today, as we cross with Christ into the landscape of Lent, may you know that you, each of you, are fiercely loved by the one who has walked this desert before us. The blessing is called, Beloved is where we begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, Do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are. Beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Amen.